When you come home from school today, I want you playing video games. No more Discovery Channel for you.
Once knew the games he should his eyes play.
Playing Space Cowboy in some back room.
Finish the game!
No!
Kill him.
You are about to experience.
I can't play these video games.
I want to win the game until it dies today.
I can't play these video games.
Games and more entertainment radio.
All right, welcome to Games and More Entertainment Radio, episode 64. I am C4.
I'm Cobar.
I'm Modem.
We have Modem on the phone today. Thank God we have another host, because I know everybody gets kind of bored of just listening to us two talk. Let's start out with, the absolute first thing I wanted to say, which has nothing to do with, like, our real, actual regular notes, was congratulations to Hades. He fucking played Final Fantasy XI long enough to make it to a level 75 of the Dark Knight.
Which is the cap for anybody that doesn't
know. Yeah, that's the cap. So that's pretty impressive. And he's got a lot of other high-end shit that he can go do now, but I guess he's working on his ninja at like level 25 or something right now. Instead of doing all the cool high-level stuff you can do at 75, but I'm not so sure
there's all that much cool high-level stuff.
Well, I don't know how much there is because I never made it because that game hates me, but, yeah. But you know what? Big props to him. That's pretty cool. You know, I wish I'd played long enough to make it that far, so. That's probably why he's so quiet in IRC, because he doesn't actually talk. He's always playing, so. And you have no comment on the Final Fantasy, huh, Modem?
Well, just congratulations, actually, because that's gotta be a bitch to do. So,
yeah.
You know, I'll give him that. It's nuts. I don't have
that was basically all he played.
I don't think he's played anything but Final Fantasy, I'm pretty sure. Alright, well now that that's out of the way, we've got some email. We got email from Mocker, actually, and this goes back to the talking about the prices of games, because he's in Norway. Listen to his email here. I thought I should give my input on the ongoing discussion about video game prices by telling you of the horror of Norwegian game prices. Just to set us off, $1 is the same as 6.6 kroner. 5 kroner. 10 kroner. That's what I'm going to have to open the show with now, is that clip from Seinfeld. An average new game costs between 549 and 599 kroner, which is roughly 85 to 90 US dollars. Yeah. Any increase in game prices in the US could easily tip us over the $100 mark. Even I, Mr. Holier Than Thou, might have to start pirating some games if this trend continues. It will be a sad day for the industry as a whole. That is pretty messed up. I didn't realize that they got that expensive around the world. I mean, I know it's pretty expensive for us to import something, but that's like straight what they sell in the store.
Yeah. That's...
that's a lot. 85 to 90 bucks.
I don't even have words for that. That's just...
that would outrageous. Seriously curb my purchasing habits. I'd be downloading a whole lot more demos than I am now.
Yeah.
A lot less impulse buys.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I know I've done it. I can impulse buy a $50 game. I've done it before. Like, I let the hype get to me a little bit too much, you know?
I do it all the time. I buy way too many video games.
What always happens to me is like I'll finally break down and buy a game that I've been looking at for a while, and like the next day or like later that week, I see that same game for like 30 or 40 bucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I bought a lot to sell for 50 bucks. The day it came out, and I just saw it at some like Big Lots type of place for $20.
Oh,
well, that's gonna happen. I mean, every game's gonna eventually go down.
Yeah, but you know what? I've looked around. I can't find it for $20.
Not for sale?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those. I forgot the company name now.
Atlas.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, wait. No. I can't remember the name now.
Spit it out, man.
I don't know. It's supposed to be rare, though, and I bought the last copy of GameStop, and now I'm seeing them at, like, a Big Lots for $20. It's irritating.
Yeah, that does suck. That's no good. This is why I thought that Cliffy B was onto something when I listened to his interview, and he was talking about the $20 game being a better way to go, the more expensive. You know, because that really, really deters people from purchasing games when the prices are just going up. There's no way. We're going to kill the impulse buys. I mean, even here in the States, even if these games go to $55-$60, that's going to be a little worrisome for a lot of people. You know, we're going to see the collector's editions even more than that. They're going to keep doing that. They're not going to stop. They, you know, whatever article
people
we were
like
reading.
People like them. I like them. I don't think I've ever bought one, but I still like the idea.
Yeah, yeah, I like having that choice. Because, like, look at Halo 2. There's a big game coming out. I don't care enough about it to buy the collector's edition.
Right.
You know, so I'm going to save my $5, but I do kind of feel like, man, it's only $5. And I could get that whole other disc with whatever the hell it's got on it.
That
interviews
cool
or whatever. Yeah, you know, it'll have a nice box, and I could say, bam, this is the collector's edition, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it seems innocent enough, only $5. But then, you know, what's $55? And then you start to think, oh, well, it's going to be that after tax at $49.99 anyway. But then if we go to the $59 game, we're going to be looking at $65-$70, and that's a little bit harder to chew on, but it's still going to happen.
Yeah.
It's absolutely still going to happen. You know, and then there's some stuff I don't even question. Like Baldur's Gate 2. Baldur's Gate 2, I had the collector's edition of that, didn't flinch, you know, didn't bat an eye when it was $60 or whatever I paid for that, didn't care, because it comes with a slick little notepad with BioWare's logo on it, I got cards from the characters, it's got a nice, really nice manual, an awesome box, and there's other crap in there too, I'm sure, I really haven't looked and screwed with it much, it's just...
A lot of times with RPGs, with like cloth maps and...
Oh yeah,
stuff
oh
like
yeah,
that,
all that crap is in there too, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, that's really neat. I like that. I particularly like that, though. That was something I could use and not feel bad because it wouldn't go away.
Mm-hmm.
Like a notepad, I'm like afraid to use it or something. Like, I don't want to waste these papers on little scribbling notes, so I keep it all together. And they know that. And I don't know why I buy this crap. Because I could have got away with the $50 version just fine, and I still have only played the game and used the paper map. But the cloth map was cool. I still have all that crap somewhere around here.
Yeah, I'm a whore for that kind of stuff, man. If you really like the game, then having all that extra crap, it just feels good.
It does. It really
well,
does.
And the cloth map can be wall art.
Yeah, I used to have all that crap hanging up in my place. Not here, but I did before, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I dig it. Especially, like you said, if you like that game, and you love all the crap that goes with it, two little figurines and whatever you can get, it doesn't matter. You know, come with a... Throw a poster in with your game. What happened to that? I haven't seen that in a long time, but I remember I could buy Sega Master System games, and they would have posters. Maybe it was Genesis games, and they would have posters with it. And it was just so cool to check out what poster you got, too. Sometimes it was for that game. Sometimes it was, like, a different game or, like, a bunch of games. They had all kinds of neat stuff. Now we don't even get a manual. We get a PDF file that you gotta go find on the CD somewhere.
Yeah.
And like a little paper insert that says, yeah, the manual's on the CD. That makes me mad. I don't like that at all. Let's see. His email, it goes on here. It changes topics twice, so I wanted to stop and talk about the prices for a little bit. But let's see. Now on to something equally horrible. The European Nintendo DS launch is 3 months after the North American launch. Does it really take 3 months to get the DS ready for release in Europe? Anyway, screw the game industry for always giving Europe the raw deal. Now, the interesting thing about that is that we discovered, in fact, it's probably later on in the notes here, if you guys are looking at it, I might have wrote it separately, that it's going to maintain its region free, just like all the Game Boys are, they're region free.
Really?
So I don't see why they have such a problem. They basically have to make a different power adapter, and that's it.
Well, it's also about the fact of making them. When you first release a product, be it a game or a system or whatever, you still only have so many manufacturing spots. And they can only crank out so many at a time. And when it first comes out, there's a huge amount being sold. So you gotta go, okay, we're gonna sell here first and then here next so that you can handle the huge output.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Because remember what happened to the PlayStation 2 when it came out? You couldn't find one.
Yeah.
That's right, huh? But I mean, God, 3 months is a lot of time to be working on DSs. You know, to be cranking them out. You think they're going to sell that well right away? Well, maybe. Nintendo must expect it to. I really wish I knew. You know, I wish they came out and said, this is why we had this delay, not just it's going to be 3 months after. And that sucks, because a lot of those guys over there are going to import it. It's going to play all the games just fine. And there's going to be, I mean, the worst case scenario for them is they have to buy a little power converter.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
But see, like, not only do they have to build up a bit of a stock before they can release it somewhere, they're also still selling in the other place.
Yeah, that's true, too.
And when it comes here, they're still selling in Japan, so they have to, I mean, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It has to take time to build up that
and
big stock.
They're
going to
have different
out.
Box art. They're going to have, you know, a little bit different manual, I'm sure. They're going to have all that stuff. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be really stupid things, though, but it must just be manufacturing. You must be dead on with that. You plan on buying one of these things, Modem? Yeah, that's what I thought. Any bets on how long it's going to take for an emulator to come out for this thing?
Quite a while.
Game Boy Advance emulator came out quick, so those couple months.
Yeah. Yeah, I expect it to be pretty soon. They're going to have a little trouble with the touch screen, but I imagine we can get over that with a mouse.
Yeah.
You know, we'll just replace the stylus with the mouse, and it'll have a second screen. I could see this taking probably 3 months before we have our first, like, rigged-up emulator that probably doesn't play commercial games. But I bet within a year, it's going to be Download City, just like the Game Boy Advance was. Yeah. And it's going to go to shit again. But, of course, are they going to slam the market with crappy games, though, like they did with the Game Boys?
Yes.
Yeah, they probably will, you're right. I don't even know why I bother asking.
I don't really understand why they do that with the Game Boys and they don't with their home console.
Because there's a lot of people that own a Game Boy. There's a lot of kids that own a Game Boy. And those, you know, probably more than that have a GameCube, you know. I'm sure it's more that have a Game Boy. You know, and when they're at school, they get influence from friends, you know, and kids that have this. Granted, not everybody owns a DS as a kid, but I bet the majority is kids. And they're more easily influenced by, you know, the movie games, the hype, you know, they get into it, and they're probably going to buy more or influence their parents to buy more.
Yeah, but I mean, with the home model, the GameCube, they're very selective as to what they let go out.
They've kind of been that way, though, I think, since the start. Very quality over quantity with that.
Yeah, but not with the Game Boys.
Not with either one of them. And, you know, they should learn from Sony and their own mistakes, that it works.
Yeah.
It works. You know?
Which is sad.
It is sad. But as it is, oh, man, I don't know. But would you really be happy if you had a Nintendo that had all these crappy games?
No.
No.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think GameCube, Game Boy should do it.
Oh, I thought you were saying that the GameCube should do it.
No,
because it works for the Sony and the PlayStation.
I don't think any of them should do it.
They shouldn't. You're right.
I think the whole blitzkrieg of shit thing sucks.
It does. You get like 27 games like every month with the same engine with different skins on the characters.
Yeah.
I don't understand that at all. And most of those suck anyway. Most of those are terrible. And it's like, once in a while though, one good one comes up. Hey, oh, I know what you can talk about. You played Demonstone, didn't you?
I played one level.
Oh, damn you. All right. That's like your 15 minutes of La Pucelle, huh? Was that worth the $50? Hey, I'm guilty of it, too. I have a fat pile of games sitting here. If you just go look on the forum and you see that, I got pictures of all the damn games, this monster backlog. Let's see, and the last paragraph in his email was, let's see, of course I can't get to the end. I can't end the email on a sad note, so I just thought I would remind you that the Make Something Unreal contest grand finals deadline is on the 10th of November. So we should be seeing some great Unreal Tournament 2004 mod releases very soon. I knew he'd slip in some mod talk in there.
I knew Mocker could not get an email in without some kind of UT2K4
thing. Yeah, and we figured out what it is, though. That's the only game he bought this year, practically.
Right.
So that's why he's so big into the mods of this. But he's hangs out on IRC all day, thank God, keeps us on top of the mod scene, so we know what's coming out, you know. And I like to stay on top of some of them. Most of them I could care less about, but I'm pretty big on Frag Ops.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a lot of weird ones out there. I mean, turning Unreal into like a strategy game and stuff. And they have this. I mean, they have.
There's
all
one that's an RPG
stuff
that I want to check out, but I don't know how well it's going to be.
An RPG?
Out.
Huh. How far along are they? Is this part of the contest?
No, I think it's out.
Well, I'm sure they have some kind of release out. I mean, like a good release.
I don't know.
No, okay.
That's something to ask Mocker.
Yeah, I'm sure he knows all about it. Okay, now, I even had an interesting topic, but we actually had pretty solid notes this week. I was impressed. Even after you guys stole them, they were pretty well fleshed out earlier this week, weren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. I fell asleep and left the notes on the server, and everybody knew, so. They got, like, early versions of the notes were out there, so. But I was talking with Inquisitor, actually, about this one day, and I thought this would make for kind of an interesting topic because it really got me going on save points. Now, look, remember, what was the vampire game? Not the new one, the one before that. The Redemption, right? Vampire Masquerade the Redemption. Remember they had save points in that game? Did you ever play that one, Modem?
I played the demo.
Oh, okay. Did you like it?
The controls were kind of clunky. I didn't really like it. I don't know.
Yeah, the controls weren't the greatest, but my biggest problem, I think, was the artificial intelligence was crap.
Yeah, I like the game.
But I played the shit out of it.
It certainly had its issues, but I thought it was a real good game.
It was a pretty solid game. I bought it like right when it was brand new, too, a long, long time ago. But I remember the save point feature pissed me off because you could, if I remember right, I mean, it's been a couple years, you could only save at your house.
Yeah.
So, and I remember really enjoying myself, you know, and I was deep in some dungeon doing something. And I would play for like 2 hours, and I'm on my way out of the place so I could get back to town. You know, I got whatever I went to go get. I was on my way back to town to go save and, you know, sell off my shit or whatever. And I would die on the way back. And then it's like, well, now I'm 3 hours behind again because there was no save anywhere. Now, I remember they patched that in to fix that, but it was too late for me because I'd already uninstalled it and lost all interest and moved on to something else. But I was thinking about the other end of the spectrum, where you have something like Doom 3 was the example at the time, that's what we were talking about, where you could save anywhere. And that really kind of ruins the gameplay for me. It's like really hard to find that delicate balance in those games. Being able to save everywhere seems innocent enough and the perfect thing. You can save anywhere, so at a moment's notice, you can just walk away from the game. But I've discovered that I'll take a step and save the game. Because I didn't get killed. I'll take another step. Save the game. You know, and then I'll walk into a room and get blasted, and I'm down to 50% hit point, and I'll load the game before I walk into that room sometimes, you know, and then I'll know where the enemies are coming, I'll kill them, it's not as scary anymore, you know, I had a really hard time getting over that. Like the first couple of like 3-4 levels of Doom, I did that, and once I got past that though, it really started to get to be a lot more fun, but they made it too easy for a lot of people to do that, and I think that save points would have really made that a whole lot better.
There needs to be, like you were saying, a balance. Both extremes are not very good for their own reasons. And, like, take for instance Fable, did a pretty good job.
Yeah,
you can save anywhere, and you can save your progress as far as your character and whatnot, but if you're in the middle of a quest, when you save, you only save the experience you got, the money you got, things like that. So you feel like you're not totally wasting by having died or something. But at the same time, you have to do that section
all over again. Yeah. Any thoughts?
Just
feel free to pipe up and cut us off whenever you want.
It also depends on what kind of platform it's on, because there's a lot of Game Boy Advance games, like strategy RPGs and stuff, that don't let you save in the middle of a battle. And on a portable system, that's something you need, because, you know, a lot of times you're not going to be sitting there and be able to finish off the battle before you turn off the system.
Absolutely, you're dead right.
Yeah, with the Game Boy Advance, especially with the RPGs, that you should be able to save straight in the middle of anything.
Yeah.
In the middle of swinging your sword in Zelda.
Yeah.
Because
it's a portable platform. Yeah. That should be like
you're
a requirement.
You're killing maybe 10-15 minutes worth of time sometimes, I was trying to use my Game Boy Advance to play Final Fantasy Tactics at work.
Uh-huh.
And most of the time, I mean, those battles tend to be kind of long. And I have 20-minute break. I'd be playing, I'm almost done, but it's time to go back to work. And what do? Do I close it and let the battery run down? Or I either do that or I have to turn it off.
Yeah, something like that, though, it does seem a lot. It's special because of the platform it's on. But on your computer, chances are you're sitting still and you're going to be there for a while. On a console, chances are, you know, you're on the couch and you're going to be there for a while. And you want the best experience that, you know, that you can have, but immersion is a part of that. And if you're saving the game every couple of, you know, every room or whatever, I mean, you know, if it's too frequent, that kind of ruins it, I think. I mean, it's hard to control yourself not to do it because it's so easy to do it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you tap the button and there's no, like, delay in the save. It just saves it right there. There's a quick save button. But it seemed to me that it was messing up my gameplay on Doom for the first couple levels, and I had to really get over that. And sure, there was a lot of stuff I had to redo, but it really made it added to the fear and whatnot. Now, remember GoldenEye for the Nintendo 64?
I don't remember.
Do you remember the save features they had for that?
Did they have one? I don't remember.
Yeah, they did have a save feature. The save feature on GoldenEye was in between levels. So you had to beat the entire level before that you could save your game. Now, that was just a little rough. Like, one save point in the middle of each of those, you know.
Like a checkpoint.
Yeah, yeah. Would have been perfect. I think that would have just smoothed it out so much more, because there were so many times you would get to, like, an impossible part of the level, something that you keep dying on, and now you gotta go all the way back. You gotta start all over again. And it was so damn hard because of that. And yet, because it was that way, I really, really enjoyed myself. I had to build skill, not just get lucky. You know, like a lot of these are, where it's just like, oh, you know, I happened to catch him right when he came around the corner and I killed him that time. I got lucky. You had to, you know, build your skill with it to where you could actually beat it. So I think that was a nice, you know, that would have been a nicer thing to have a save point in the middle. And I was thinking, when they do the save points, they always screw it up. How do you know when there's a hard room coming up?
There's a save point.
There's a save point every goddamn time. Right? And so what do? You absolutely save your game. You have to, because you know that you're going to die. Because they set something up that was just ridiculously hard the first time you see it, but once you figure it out, you know, after seeing it at least and know what to expect, you're all over it. So my solution was this. You can't have one of the programmers or level designers or any of those guys who have any knowledge of the level, the map itself, make the save point. Because they will put it, sure as shit, in the worst possible spot as far as gameplay goes. Because it'll be in a nice little safe sectioned room somewhere where it's right before something hard, and you know that's going to happen. You know, or then they think, well, this room was hard too, and they'll add too many to the level, one right before each hard part. That happens all the time. So I'd say, they get the mail delivery guy. Right? They print out the map, with no enemies. They just print like an overhead view of the world, of the map, whatever, you know? And they hand it to the guy who delivers the donuts, or the Alhambra water guy, and they say, figure out where we should put a thing. And he wouldn't know where the hard rooms are, he wouldn't know where their scripted events are, and if he would just put two dots on the map, and that would decide enough. And I think it'd be perfect.
Chaos theory.
It works, though, for something like that.
Well, see, I think there should be one at the beginning, one in the middle. One at the beginning, one in the middle. 50% straight through the middle of the map. Put a save.
Or if it's incredibly long, 33% through and 66% through. Okay. Right? Yeah, something like that would be great. I mean, if they told the water guy or the donut delivery guy, pick two points on this map, you know, equal distance from each other, you know, and from the ends, and this is where we're going to put our save points in our game. Plus, that would make his day. He could tell all his friends, man, hey, I put the save points in Doom 3, you know? I really think that, I mean, I was looking for some kind of conversation on this just to see if anybody had any thoughts on save points and save systems.
I personally like a system where, like I would say, like Fable, where you can save. It doesn't really work for a FPS, though, something that's action, because there's no real progression of your person.
Yeah, yeah.
But, for things that there are progression, it's good to have kind of like hard saves and soft saves, as it were. I think that works really well. In something like an FPS or other action games, I think just random checkpoints. I mean, having it right at a hard room and then at a boss,
yeah,
that doesn't really fly too well. But just like at a percentage point, you get 50% of the map, you throw a save point, or 33 and 66, or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, but I tell you what, I don't hate anything more than when you're going through a long dungeon, or you're on some huge quest, and you're really far through it, and you can't save anywhere, you gotta save at the save points, and they don't put a save point for like 3 or 4 hours into this quest, and then you die and you lose it all. I hate that. I have just dropped so many games because of that. It's just, it blows my mind. If they're gonna have save points, they need to find a balance. They can't have too many, but they can't have too few, because both ruin it.
Absolutely. I've actually stopped too, because I couldn't save and get killed, and it's like, I'm not doing this 8-hour mission again.
It's like a Zelda, and the Ocarina of Time specifically, because that's what I'm thinking of. You can save in a dungeon, anywhere you damn well please. You turn it off, you turn it back on, you're at the front of the dungeon.
Yeah, Zelda does have a pretty good system.
But the puzzles are done.
Yeah, you save all the shit that you collected.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good system for something like that. I have to say that I do like that, because the dungeon's there, but the dungeons are never too big in that, though.
Right.
You know, the dungeons aren't huge by any means in most of these Zelda games. You know, they're not that incredibly big. You're not going to be there for 5 hours. You might be there for an hour. That's not so bad.
Or like,
not terrible.
If you're doing some gigantic, like computer RPG where there's long quests and you're doing things, and you can have it so you can save and the quest things you've done are done, but you don't save right at that point.
Yeah.
You can't go and get killed and then pop right back and do the room again.
You know what got me thinking about this? Was Sly Cooper saves. Because I thought they were fantastic. they have the checkpoints.
Right.
And as you run past a checkpoint, that's another big thing, is that it auto-saves for you, right? If you put a checkpoint wherever in your map, you know, halfway through your dungeon, whatever point through your dungeon, you're going to have to stop and you think to yourself, oh, crap, there's a save point. I absolutely have to save. And then it's like you got to navigate those menus for 20 minutes, you know, and you're trying to, okay, well, I better make a second save because, you know, I want to keep my other game here. And I'm a big, huge believer in, like, multiple saves. So.
Oh, I'll have 40 of them by the time I'm beating the game.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but in Sly Cooper, you just run past it. You come anywhere near it, and it saves it for you.
Right.
You know,
it doesn't break the immersion.
Yeah, nothing happens at all. Like, it doesn't even slow down, nothing. You know, I thought that was a really, really slick system, and I thought, well, this is damn cool. You know, at some random point, it saves for me, so I don't have to go do all this crap again. I like that idea a lot. I mean, they could even incorporate that into an RPG where there's save points in the dungeon that are checkpoints that you don't have to have any interaction with. You know, that you just walk past and it saves your game right there, yet you still have your main overall save when you're out of the dungeon. I mean, these are not some bad ideas, so call up your game developer friends and tell them that we know what the hell we're talking about, okay?
Yeah, tell them to listen to the show, because...
That's right.
We'll make this country right.
That's right. We'll straighten this whole problem out here. And don't forget to make the controls configurable.
Yeah.
All right. Moving along now...
And quit making tycoon games.
Quit making tycoon games. Absolutely. Okay, and, you know, I think last week I mentioned something about making another Narf game, and then I could have sworn I even mentioned it a couple weeks ago and forgot all about it. And there is a Narf game for the, I think it's for all three major consoles that are being developed right now. It's Narf. If anybody played it on, I think, the Nintendo, I can't really remember. I think it was on the Nintendo, but I played Narf last.
The name sounds very familiar, but I can't place what it was.
It was like a Contra shoot 'em up kind of game back then. Have you seen anything on the new one at all, Modem?
I haven't.
No, it looks like a bad GTA ripoff.
Shocking.
Yeah.
Really, really shocking.
I didn't see that one coming, huh?
They rip off GTA?
Yeah, can you believe it?
You mean somebody's making a game, like a Grand Theft Auto game?
Yeah.
That's what you're telling me?
Yeah, I've
never heard of it.
I can't believe they haven't thought of this before. I was pretty disappointed, though, to see that.
Yeah.
Not only did it look very unoriginal, it looks just like it without the coolness of it and the largeness of it. It looks like a very, very, very bad game. The ad looked kind of cool, though. The little trailer I watched made it look fairly decent. But I don't know about this. This is going to barely, I think, make it to the rental status for me. I'm very depressed. Because with the original ones, I have such fond memories of blowing crap up. And with all the drugs and stuff, it just seemed like a good idea for a game. And this one, I mean, it just seemed like they just said, okay, let's take Grand Theft Auto, change the name, throw in some more drugs, you know, and I don't know. I wasn't too pleased.
You know, while we're on the GTA clone subject, no game ever pissed me off more for having so much GTA influence as Jack 2. They took such a great platformer and killed it.
How far did you get into that?
I stopped. I got
really?
Like oh, four man. Hours in. I'm like, if I wanted to play this, I'd play GTA.
Damn.
Well, a lot of people love the hell out of it.
That's just it. They also probably own all the GTA games.
It's a GTA clone that's cartoony and without the crime.
Oh, sounds lame.
Nah, that's pretty weak. I actually I had the demo for Jack 3 here that I haven't checked out yet. Surprising, I haven't actually gotten around to playing a game, amazingly enough. But I've got it sitting here, and I'm curious if they kept that, you know?
I mean, sure, people said it was good, but there's a reason they keep making GTA clones. It's because people keep buying them and loving them.
It's like tycoon games. So.
Yeah, quit buying Grand Theft Auto ripoffs, please. I don't.
Exactly. I don't buy them either, because they suck. They're fun for a little bit, like 5-10 minutes. Maybe a rental, I guess, is worth it. Also, this week, this actually happened, I think this came out the day that we recorded last week, so of course now we're like 9 days late on this or something, but we talked about it in the forum briefly, that Halo 2 was leaked. It's the PAL version, you know, the French version, and it's a different video mode. It's not NTSC here, it's PAL. But it will run, apparently, and it does work on the unmodded Xboxes. Did anybody look into this at all? I imagine Modem probably knows more about this than you and I.
Yeah.
It got leaked, like, when you guys were recording, like you said.
Yeah, I remember watching it. I was sitting there watching RSS feeds go by, and it popped up, you know? And I was like, damn it.
I heard it's not fake, it's real, and just, I heard Microsoft is just livid over this.
Yeah, everything I've seen basically said that they are on the warpath, and there was a thread over at, on Bungie. It's Bungie.net. If you go to Bungie's site, it's like now it's the bottom thread on there, or the bottom story on the front page. It takes you to a forum thread. If you read this, you will die laughing. Because it's a bunch of, well, a lot of them are. A lot of these guys think that, oh, this Xbox game was leaked to the internet means that you can play it on your computer. It's hilarious. They're like, well, how come I can play it on my PC? I thought this was an Xbox exclusive for a few months and all this stuff. And I'm rolling. I'm dying reading this, you know. It's pretty funny.
People's ignorance.
I know. It's surprising. It really is. I just can't. And the worst part is like, I think you get the feeling that nobody wants to say, listen up, you can play this on your Xbox with this, that, and the other thing, because then that poor kid right there is going to get into the world of modding consoles and pirated console games and all this crap, and they don't want that in the Bungie forums. You know, they don't want anybody to find out it's possible. They're probably happy that these people don't know that you can make this run on your Xbox. Now, I haven't seen it. I haven't even seen screenshots of it yet. Pirate ones. I've only seen official screenshots and movies and stuff.
Right.
But I know people are out there playing it. And apparently you can play it multiplayer online in its current form. You can't use Xbox Live though.
They're
banning people that are trying, you know, I mean, because they detect your name. You know, they're banning
people. You can't go on Xbox Live with a mod chip anyway.
You can turn them off though. So.
But then you can't play the game. You turn off the mod chip, you can't play the game.
That's a good point.
You turn on the mod chip, you can't go on to Xbox Live.
They're banning people's gamer tags that go on to forums, though, and use their gamer tag and have any information about Halo 2 at all. If you go to, like, IGN's forums, say, and your login name or in your signature, you have your gamer tag, you know, for Xbox Live on there, and you're talking about it, you're gone. You're done. Banned. Off.
Holy hell.
Yeah, they're really, really not happy about this. And I can understand why. Now, I heard, and I don't know if this is true or not, I heard that there was some stuff missing from this rip. Does anybody know anything about that?
I didn't hear that.
Okay. Then I can't say that it's true then, because I heard somebody mention, and it was, I can't remember where I heard it now.
Do you remember what you heard was missing?
No. I just heard that it wasn't a full leak. But from everything I actually saw and read, which was only at the time, I didn't look into it too much, because I don't have a modded Xbox, I'm not going to play it, I don't need it, blah, blah, blah. So I didn't really care.
Right.
Other than the fact that it was just interesting news, because I always find it interesting when this kind of shit happens.
When?
Yeah, I find it very interesting when this kind of crap happens. Like for the big name games, like it's always amazing. Like
it almost always happens.
Yeah, but it's usually like a day or two before, not like a month before. And look at Half-Life. That blew my mind. That was like hype central right there. It was just like, oh yeah, a year before release. We got the source code is out there. You know, all this stuff is supposed to be out there, and nobody believed it. It was just, I don't know. Nice little internet drama to keep me entertained, because the real world drama sucks. So,
yeah, a lot of leaks going around this year.
There is. And I think it's exciting. I don't know why. I just think it's cool. You know, it may suck on one end, you know, for the developers and all this stuff, but it's kind of cool, though.
I wonder how it's happening so regularly, though. I mean, Doom 3 was leaked. Halo 2 was leaked.
Yeah.
Half-Life 2
was leaked.
Some of the biggest names out there are all getting leaked, and I wonder.
I was going to say, San Andreas, I'm pretty sure, is out there.
Yeah,
it just got leaked.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that this is a fresh one. It's on the 20th of October today. So,
I don't know if that's real or not.
Yeah, that's only 6 days early, though. So I can totally see that, like, an in-transit problem, you know, like the mailman ripping it. You know,
or all the reviewers. So some reviewer goes and takes his review copy.
Absolutely, I could see that happen too. And just so everybody knows, the Halo 2 leak will not, according to Microsoft and Bungie, this will not affect the November 9th or 9th through 11th worldwide release date.
Which is
they're still gonna make their date. So we'll see what happens.
They gotta be busting their ass. 1.5 million plus pre-orders.
I know. That's crazy.
I can't remember what the...
Last week it was only 1 million, didn't we mention that? And I just saw it was 1.5.
Yeah. Well, I can't remember what the record was before that, but it's totally blown it out of the water.
Probably Zelda.
The most pre-ordered game.
Probably Zelda.
Yeah.
Because Zelda was up there.
Yeah.
Zelda was a lot. It was one of the Zelda games. I don't remember which one, but it was one of the Zelda games. It had a huge, huge pre-order list.
It was probably Ocarina, because you got that nifty gold cartridge.
That's what I'm thinking.
If you pre-ordered
it. I had that. I don't have any more, and I'm kind of bummed, but I have the GameCube version, so I'm pretty happy about that. fuck all these other games. I need to go play that.
Yeah.
Fuck all this other crap that I have that I don't like, or that I'm convinced is supposed to be good and it's not. I need to go play that some more, because that was pretty good. Alright, now this is the best part of this show. This week's show here. I've been waiting. I've been so excited. I've been jumping up and down like a little girl, man. I've been excited, just so happy, giggling like a fool all week. Why don't you start us off with the introduction of the coolest part of this show there, Modem?
HD Loader.
The HD Loader.
This is a application, pretty much, for your PlayStation 2. Don't need a mod chip. It's just a regular DVD. And you just put it in your PlayStation 2, and it formats a hard drive to the PlayStation 2 readable format, and it'll actually let you rip games onto the hard drive so you can have faster loading times.
And this is amazing. This is so cool for PlayStation 2.
There's some games out there that are just so slow in loading.
They are. There's some. Champions of Norrath has got to be one of the absolute worst games I've tried to sit through and play.
Ugh.
Because the loading times. The game is fun as all hell, but the loading times absolutely destroy it. Now, I'm sure a lot of people have heard about the HD Loader, and HD Advance probably, because apparently it was on G4, Tech TV, X-Play, Ultra, but Kick-Ass, fucking whatever it's called now. I guess it was featured on that, and you know I wasn't going to do this, I didn't know if we should talk about it, but you know what, I figured if G4 can do it, we can talk about it, right?
Sure. Because what show was it on?
I don't know, wait, do you remember what show it was on that station?
Screensavers.
Oh, okay, it was on the Screensavers, okay.
Kevin Rose did it.
Oh, boy, Kevin Rose.
Good people,
that's right.
Apparently we had Leo Laporte at my work. Like really? A couple months ago. I missed him, but...
Oh, that would have been pretty cool to go talk to that guy. No, are you kidding? How cool would it be to run into Adam Sessler somewhere and see if he's really a fidgety little ADHD-infected, like, 50-year-old, wannabe 20-year-old gamer?
Probably not.
Probably not.
I have a feeling Leo Laporta has about as much computer knowledge as the janitor. He just gets told what to say.
I could see that. You know, I'm not big on watching this crap, though. I've only seen probably, like, 10 episodes of the Screensavers ever. So I don't really know. But you know, this week I downloaded like 5 episodes of G4 Tech TV X-Play. Mm-hmm. And at first I couldn't stand it. I hated it. And you know what I don't like? Is when they're talking. When they're doing the review, it's not so bad. Because it's like, it's all written out already. Like they already have their review and they kind of stay on topic. And you don't have to watch Adam Sessler fidget and act like a moron.
Yeah.
Because you're looking at game footage. And you watch...
I actually like that show because that they're doing the review, you get to watch the game footage.
Yeah,
it's
all
a nice
cool.
little... Package.
Yeah, it is nice. It is nice. And it was fairly short, maybe 25 minutes long or something. It didn't seem too bad. Or I guess a half an hour, I'm sure. It didn't seem too bad. It was. Not, I've never seen it before. So if that comes as a shock to anybody, I've never actually seen it since... Especially since I've seen some episodes before, but on the new network I haven't seen anything. This is the first I've watched. I've seen 5 episodes, and I can't stand. I can't stand Morgan Webb. I hate her. This chick drives me nuts.
Agreed.
I can't... Yeah, she's retarded.
She's also... Not as pretty as she should be.
She's very not. She's
got a man jaw.
That
all right,
should be the intro to the show.
All right. Thanks for laying it out on the table, though, because I couldn't do it. But, yeah, you know, and she's not attractive at all.
Well, in the show, she's supposed to be, like, the attractive female counterpart to
when
this.
She should be a villain in a 007 movie.
Yeah. Bad job.
It's terrible. I don't know. She doesn't even have a very good body, though.
No.
They had shots of her in some kind of magazine last week. Probably Maxim or some shit like that, whatever it was. And she's not even that good looking. And yet all these 12-year-olds that are watching X-Play all day are just going crazy over it. And she's splattered all over the internet. And you see her in signatures and all of it. Anyway, whatever. It wasn't a bad show. You know, I didn't mind.
It was better when it was extended play and it was just him.
I think so, too. And he didn't act like as much of a moron, I think. Like, he acts, he's fidgety, and he's... it drives me insane.
I think they're making him.
I think so, too. They must be. Like, that's what I'm saying. I think it'd be cool to meet him in real life.
He didn't used to be like that when it was extended play, and it was just him and before.
Ah, see, because I've only seen about 4 episodes of that.
They retooled the show, like, a year ago.
Yeah, they made it all MTV-ish. The camera was all shaky and stuff. It was really terrible.
And they have all those neat shots of the behind-the-camera camera shot and the funky angles looking up from the floor and overhead, which, but it was fairly entertaining. But
he also used to tape it in an arcade.
Ah.
It wasn't on some stupid set. He was in an arcade in like San Diego or something.
They need to put all this crap up on their side available for download, though. You know, even for the cost of like $1 a week, I'd probably pay for that. Now, I'm sure I would. That's affordable. $1 a week to watch them 5 times a week or something? I'd watch that, or 7, however many they do it. That'd be pretty cool. Because I don't have TV.
Most of the shows are the same crap over and over again. Like, they'll take reviews, and they'll, like, mix them up in the show. So you watch the same reviews over and over again, but a different set of them.
Well, whoever ripped these, the quality was so fucking bad, I watched them and deleted them. So, but it's like, I don't know, it's still kind of neat, and I probably won't be downloading anymore, but it was pretty neat to watch. But if they had some nice high-quality streams on their site or something, that'd be kind of neat to watch. But I don't know why I started talking about that so much, but anyway, back to the HD loader.
Because it was on Tech TV.
Yeah, they talked about it, so I know a lot of people have heard of it. If you go to the website, which is hdloader.net, you can look up information there. It's not hdloader.com like it used to be. Make sure you go to hdloader.net. They even had the little As Seen on G4 Tech TV logo thing on there. Their official purchase outlet, according to their websites where you click buy it now or whatever, takes you to consolesource.com. Sellers of multiple mod chips, all kinds of weird little things like this, you know, all manner of assortment of stuff for your console. I mean, everything from like new shells, you know, if you want a red see-through shell, you can buy that and transplant your machine into that, you know, whatever you want, they have it. It's kind of like Lixang, with a little bit more cooler stuff, you know, like Lixang had just like weird stuff, and these guys actually have like illegal in the United States stuff.
Right.
HD Loader was legal, I guess, for a little bit. Sony caught wind of it right away and shut that down right quick. So if you're going to get it, you have to import it. I don't know about ordering from Console Source, though. A friend of mine at work ordered his the end of August, and it never arrived.
Mm-hmm. And I got mine from them in less time than, they shipped it faster than Amazon did.
Damn.
An order of mine. So they got here in like 4 or 5 days.
So that's pretty good. Now, I ordered one from Console Source, and it took them 9 days to get here. And I was getting worried. It got here 2 days before they, like, the little warning, this package hasn't arrived thing yet, you know, because it said today it should have arrived, as a matter of fact. Now, the friend of mine at work said that he ordered it from, he ordered another one from Console Source, and it got there in 4 days. He ordered it 3 days after I ordered mine, and it got there 2 days before, or 1 day before. So, whatever the hell.
Who knows?
Yeah. Now, another outlet that I understand is pretty good because, Six Layer, I guess, got his from Divineo. It's divineo.net, I guess. He ordered his from there, and it got here real quick. The thing's about $30, and it's just a CD, or DVD. I'm not quite sure which it is. It's only like 500 megs or something, right?
I don't know.
Okay, it's pretty small, though.
It's like 540-something.
It probably is a CD. It actually, you know what, it must be, I don't know, but whatever. It's probably a CD, whatever. It's a disc. That's all you get is the disc. Now, to make this thing work, you have to have an original-style PlayStation 2, not the new PS2 thing with no hard drive expansion bay thing. That thing will not work, and that's a real bummer.
Yeah, I know.
That really, really is sad, because basically now the PlayStation 2 that I have has to last me forever.
Or you have to buy some used one.
Yeah, and, you know, that's going to suck.
Did they stop selling the original PS2?
As of November 1st. So in 10 days, you're going to end up with this new little tiny, and that thing's small, dude.
Oh, yeah,
it's like just bigger than the size of, like, a DVD case.
That picture was crazy, the one with the original Xbox controller on top of the PS2.
That was hilarious.
That was pretty good. But we actually have a forum thread in the forums set up to show pictures. Modem and I have pictures of the HD loader, the setup, the installation, the application of it, and everything on the forum. If you want to go there, take a look at some quick pictures. We've got the information right there, and it's going to kind of go hand-in-hand with this. So go to the site, hwhq.com, click on forums on the left. It's under gaming. It's stickied right now. It says, fear the HD loader. And it's got a bunch of pictures and cool stuff. Actually, are your pictures still showing up, Mr. I don't have any more bandwidth for the month?
Oh, I don't know. Are they? They should be.
Okay. No, I haven't looked, but I thought they were. So, okay. I didn't know because you were like, you screwed yourself yesterday.
That was awesome.
That was awesome.
Yeah, they're still showing up.
Okay, cool. Okay. Another thing about this is you need the network adapter. Because the network adapter has the IDE port and the Molex power connector on the back of it.
Yeah, that's how you get the hard drive connected to the PS2.
Yeah, you cannot do this without that. Okay. So basically that costs about $30. And the hard drive, the limit on the HD loader apparently is 120 gigs, right?
Yeah, that's non-hacked version.
Okay, yeah, or it's probably 137 or whatever.
137.
Yeah, yeah, okay. But basically you're looking at a 120 gig hard drive. If you bought a 160, you'd only be able to see 137 gigs. So, I mean, 120 gig hard drive, I got a, actually, we got the same drive, I think, a Maxter 8 meg, 7200 RPM, 8 meg cache.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got the same drive. It fits in there perfectly. There is a network adapter compatibility list floating out there, so maybe I'll have to post that in the forum, just so that if you're interested in buying this, you know. Now, if you look at Console Source's website, they actually have whole kits. Now, I called Ode yesterday, because remember when he tried to mod his PlayStation 2 unsuccessfully? And he melted the damn thing? Yeah. Well, I called him to tell him about this, and he ordered, I guess, everything from that. Everything. But probably not the PS2, I'm not actually sure, but I think he said he ordered the whole kit. So whether or not, no, I think he did order his PS2 from there. So, in any case, we've all got this thing here, and this thing is uber.
Once you go HD loader, you never go back.
Yeah, absolutely. The load times on some of the games, like, I played Sly Cooper for quite a bit.
Finally,
for the first time ever. And I'll tell you what, there is absolutely no load time in there. Now, I don't know if there is in the real game, but there's none. I have tried to play Nightshade. It loads hella fast. Burnout 3, way faster than this. And the biggest one, Champions of Norrath, it does shave a lot of time off of it.
Does it?
It does shave a lot of time. Not an insane amount of time,
so
but quite a bit.
So you got it to work?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it works. And we're going to get to that in just a minute.
Right.
Because this is all part of our big HD loader spectacular here on episode 64. Dun, dun, dun. All right, I'm tired of talking, so why don't you go ahead and talk about the HD Advance for a little bit.
The HD Advance, now, I haven't read as much about this.
Okay, wait. Then let me, real quick, there is a hack of the HD loader called HD Advance. And
yeah, it looks like it just some dudes just took the HD loader and changed some stuff around and marketed it as their own.
They did. That's exactly what happened. And if you look around, like, the scene, like, the community, if you can, you know, find those shady forums and whatnot where all this kind of stuff goes on and it's just open discussion about this kind of stuff, you'll see that half the scene is not very happy. Half of the guys are really pissed at them because they're selling it. They hacked it and they're selling it and making money off of it. And then the other half are just like, you know, hey, whatever. No honor among thieves. Fuck them. They don't respect copyrights. Why should they? You know? So it's pretty interesting, though, because it does have some cool extra features, namely support for larger hard drives. So I would like to see PlayStation 1 game support myself.
Yeah,
I know. Someone needs to figure that out.
Absolutely, because I tried to put Street Fighter Alpha 3 on my thing, you know, just transferring it with my computer, hoping it would run, but it doesn't. It doesn't run. Because that fucking game, the load times are longer than the rounds.
Yeah.
So, alright, well, go ahead and talk about the dual layer and the single layer stuff with it now.
Basically, this, it won't do dual layer games by itself. Because to rip the game, all you do is you put in the HD loader, it starts up, it says, you know, insert the game, you put in your game, and then it rips it to the hard drive. Well, if you try to do a DVD-9 or dual-layered game, it'll just rip the first layer. So, to get around this, basically, the little rule is, if you can get it on the hard drive, you know, it'll run. So, the whole point of this is to try and get it onto the hard drive. And, so what you gotta do is you have to.
Right, and not only that, but not every single layer game works.
Yeah.
There is a compatibility problem with many games, and actually you found, thank God, a compatibility list.
Yeah, good list.
For games. And there's actually, like, different modes that you can put the HD loader in. If you hit select when you're looking at the menu, it lets you pick, like, compatibility modes, things that will fix things. Like, I noticed on Burnout 3, you have to use compatibility mode 3. And it does make the game work just fine. Otherwise, you get the black screen of death. You get nothing when you try to load it up. But for the most part, these games do work.
Yeah, so as of now, there's only a couple DVD-9 games out. Metal Gear Solid 2, Xenosaga.
Champions of Norrath.
Champions of Norrath.
And you can't forget the Guy game!
And the game everybody has picked up, yes, the Guy game.
That game is so ghetto.
I know. But they're all dual layer, and they don't work natively with the HD loader.
Right, it only rips the first layer.
Oh, it will even get that far?
I thought it did.
Okay, oh, I'm really not sure. I haven't even bothered to try, because I read about it ahead of time, and This is our great public service for the community here. They can listen to us, tell them, don't do that because you're going to screw up. See, we're good for the people.
There you go. Right.
Here's what you got to do. Okay, now I even wrote down notes because the day that I did this, and I got lost at some point, man. I got all screwed up trying to figure out how this works. Let's see. What happened was you have to rip the game to your computer, okay, and you can use any kind of tool that you want. It seems to me that DVD Decryptor is the way to go.
It's freeware also, right?
It is, but it's illegal in the United States.
Oh, well.
Yeah, so if you go to DVDDecryptor.com, don't do anything illegal there. You get that free software, and you put the PlayStation, you know, disc into your DVD-ROM, and when you fire up DVD Decryptor, the whole trick, it'll tell you it's not a movie. It knows right away that it's not a movie because it's missing the IFO files, which are basically shows the layout of the DVD. So on the top up there, I can't remember what option it is, but it says ISO mode. You pick ISO mode, and you pick read. Then you can dump it to your hard drive as an ISO. Okay, so that, you know, takes whatever, 20 minutes or whatever. And then, it's weird, if you extract that, it comes out as just a single layer.
Huh.
Yeah, it really blew my mind how this stuff works, because I've never actually messed around with this stuff before.
But all the data's there.
All the data's, like your ISO will be, like, let's say, 8 gigs or 7 gigs, but if you, like, use whatever else to extract it or something stupid like WinRAR, it comes out as, like, a 4 gig thing.
Huh.
Yeah, it's so fucking weird. Okay, so there's a tool for this, though, specifically, I think it's specifically designed for PlayStation games, because it has PlayStation logos on it, you know, like, on this weird, crazy software. It's called Apache, and as far as I've been able to find, there's two versions right now, like Apache 1. Whatever, and then 2. So, and there is an update if you go to the auto-updater thing for Apache 2. So basically, you just fire up this tool called Apache. You tell it to access the ISO, and with that, you can rip both layers. It'll extract it to... What you want to do is extract it to the same directory, though. That takes quite some time. And I haven't been able to find a way to do it at the same time yet. If you right-click Apache 2 on the left-hand pane there, it gives you the option to switch layers or whatever, and then, like, extract all. And then you just dump them to the same directory. Now this is where I got lost. You have to, like, rewrite some of the files, like one of the files that shows the layout of the disk, because the files have to be in a certain order. Now, the only way that I can tell, and I haven't been able to figure this out, so I might be completely off base here, is that you have to figure out the file size in bytes of each file, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what order they're supposed to be on the disk. So that you put, like, however many bytes it is, or where it starts, probably. You put it at 0, byte 0, and you put this file. Then you put, you know, byte number 2065, and then you put the name of the file. Then you put, you know, byte 7,948 and this file, right?
Gosh.
Yeah, and some of these games have like 500 files on them or something, so it could take you all day. Now, there is a quick and dirty way to do this, and I couldn't figure it out. So you're going to have to do a little looking into that, because I could not make it work. I had walkthroughs, I had guides, I had everything I could possibly read, and I couldn't make it work. I mean, at one point I loaded up a hex editor to try to do it, and that was just a mess. But at least I was able to figure out the file size of some of these things. If you use ISO Buster, you can browse, you can get a file list though, with that. You can get a list that shows how big the files are. And there's some kind of weird format that you have to put it in too, like, to use the next tool. There's this thing called IML to ISO. This IML to ISO thing will read up this little text file basically, which is this IML file, and spit out the newly written ISO file that on paper, like, at least as far as the files are concerned, tell it it's a single-layer disk that just so happens to be this size.
Right.
You know, like, basically, you end up cutting out the part that says, layer 2 start here, byte 0, instead you tack it on to the end.
Right.
So it seems like it should be fairly straightforward. You could just copy it all and then add that many bytes to the numbers, right? And I'm sure it's that simple, but at the time I couldn't figure it out. But maybe because it was, like, 6 hours into it, my brain was just scrambled. At 5 o'clock in the morning, I was like, okay, I've had enough of this crap. Well, it turns out that these files, you know, I mean, they're text files. So I have these IML files. So you can basically skip that step. I'll post a link in the forums to these IML files because they're just text files. I don't see them being illegal for any reason. And basically, you just skip that step. So rip it with DVD Decryptor, fire up Apache, copy into a directory. Take the IML file and copy it into the directory, right? Use IML to ISO, read the IML file, and it'll read. It's like a Q file for bin Qs, you know, right? It's just like a Q file.
Okay.
If you look at it, it's a text file, editable, do whatever you need to. You got to give it a path. You have to tell it what files are, etc. Once you have that file straightened out, you use IML to ISO, and it basically dumps an ISO of a single layer, 8 gig, 9 gig disk, whatever it is, right? It dumps that out, then you're all set. The whole problem is, how do you get that to your hard drive? Right? Now, thank God, Modem, go ahead and take it away from here. You're the one who found this awesome tool.
Alright, there's this program, how the hell do you pronounce this?
I've been calling it HIP.
Okay, WinHIP, it's Win, H-I-I-P. And what this program does is it's this really nice, really simple, really clean program that it reads the PS2 partition type. So you gotta yank the PS2 hard drive out of your PlayStation 2, and you gotta hook it up to your PC. And you use WinHIP to read that hard drive, and then you can just go ahead and transfer over the new ISO that's made through, IML to ISO and all that.
Right, it transfers it right over. It's really slick. It's got some cool options, too. Like, it has, I like the reduce fragmentation option, because if you have that turned off, like, I imagine HD loader's pretty sloppy when it copies the file over to the hard drive. Mm-hmm. Using this, though, not only is it damn fast, because it's in your PC and not on the PlayStation, it's got the way it sets up the partition, and for each thing, and it tells you actually how much wasted space you have on your drive that's basically empty because of the way that it was formatted. And if you have this reduced fragmentation thing on, it like slams those files into the holes. It's something. It is. Or it rewrites the partition or something. It is gnarly. Because I was up to 3 gigs of wasted space when I first transferred it from just doing the rips on the PS2 to the hard drive, or to my PC. And once I hooked it up to the PC, enabled that reduced fragmentation thing, and started messing with these dual-layered games that I do legally own. Turns out I fucking own 3 of these dual-layered games, so I ran into a problem.
I had like 5 of them so far.
5 or 6 of these, yeah. I happen to own half of them, so this was a big project for me, because I wanted to get my games to load faster. So, that reduced fragmentation thing took it down to like 0. It's basically like 100 megs wasted now, as opposed to like 3 gigs, or 10 megs wasted. Yeah, it's awesome. The guy even has preliminary support. I think he disabled it in this version, but it's still there to set it up with a network. So if you have like a mod chip, you can run his software still, run the mod chip, the FTP, on your PlayStation, and just transfer it across the network. Because you can punch in your PlayStation's IP address in this program. It stands for like Hard Drive Image Installation Program or something, the HIIP. But whatever, it is really, really slick. There's also some other programs to do it. I think it's called HD Dump or HD Dumb or something. I can't remember what it is now, but I've never used it because there's no need to on a Windows machine. This WinHIIP is awesome. The thing is just what you need. It is slick. It is really, really cool. It even has support for larger hard drives. Right, they won't, that shouldn't work.
Right.
But the HD Advance has that hack in there for those, the larger hard drives, and so does this. This is a very, very well-coded program. I mean, I'm impressed, yeah. So, after that though, you're golden. You basically pull the hard drive from your PC, put it back in the PlayStation, fire up HD Loader, and that DVD 9 game will run. It does work.
You might be golden, but it took an awful lot to get you to shine.
It did, but the payoff is worth it.
Yeah.
It's so nice that I can play.
Yeah,
like
Champions of Norrath, how slow that was.
Exactly. And now, I'm looking at much, much reduced speeds. The only thing I've noticed that's wrong with this whole scenario is that, one, the PlayStation 2, the PS2, the new little version won't support it, and
probably,
the PlayStation games.
They probably jacked that. They probably purposely did a little tweaking to get it to not work.
Maybe. I don't know.
Is there any other game besides Final Fantasy XI that uses the hard drive?
No, and that's why Sony said, fuck it, we don't need it anymore. Because they don't care. Now, have you actually sat and played some games on your hard drive for a while?
Not for a while. I'm getting ready after this. I'm going to fire up Vice City and see how much the load time is decreased, because I heard they dropped nothing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice. I pull your hard drive out after you're done playing for like an hour or two. Mine got extremely hot. So I'm starting to think it might be time to mod myself some fans in the front of the bay and blow out the back or something like that. Or maybe, well, since I keep mine on the side, I could actually have a cooler on the bottom. Hey, that's not a bad idea. But damn, it got really hot, and I'm pretty concerned about my hard drive sitting in there sideways as it is and not screwed down, really. You know, there's no way to mount it on the inside of that. You just have to rely on those two screws, and your connection to the network would have to hold your hard drive in there solid, unless there's something I totally didn't see.
I didn't see anything.
Yeah, okay, so it's not just me. I thought maybe there was something that slides off the side that you can screw it in, but there's no way you can screw this into the side of your PlayStation. Mm-hmm. It basically just slides in the back and has, like, a millimeter or two on either side.
Like, the PlayStation 2 hard drive might have, like, clips.
I think it has, like, a mounting bracket.
Yeah.
I think it does. Maybe I'm going to need to stuff some cardboard in there or something because I don't want this hard drive to get all fucked up with my games on it, you know? It still saves your save games to your memory card, though, so, like, your big delay is there. Yeah. It is right there. I mean, it takes forever. Oh, you're smoking now. You're just like, oh, yeah, this is so nice and fast. Oh, crap, I got to save my game. Yeah. You know, and it takes forever with those goddamn slow-ass memory cards. Let's see, what else did we have on this HD loader thing? Oh, the cool thing, extra cool part of me, as if it wasn't cool enough that you can copy your legally owned, purchased PlayStation games, I find it in the gray area of the law, at least I'm probably totally wrong, and it's probably clearly illegal, but I see nothing at all wrong with it, and I don't see why Sony would push this. I've been able to download demos, and play them. Mm-hmm. Which I think is really cool, because I got my hands on the Devil May Cry 3 demo, and otherwise I would have had to have a disc, which I don't have a disc for that yet. I've got a million demo CDs here, and no Devil May Cry 3.
Right.
Right? And this is just, it's a demo, this is something they're giving out for free anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, so why couldn't I download it? They're not losing any money, they're not losing any bandwidth, and you know, potential buyers. This is what demos are for.
Right.
I mean, I know they don't want to admit this kind of stuff goes on and happens, but it's such a cool thing that it does happen. You know, particularly with demos, that you can download games, and the region doesn't seem to matter. What did you find out about the region, trying to rip a region game? It doesn't work, right?
Imports don't work unless your console's modded.
Yeah.
But once again, if you can get it on the hard drive, it will play it.
It will run.
It won't, if you try ripping it to the hard drive without using your PC, it won't work.
Exactly. You have to hook it up to your PC to copy that ISO over to the drive.
Because the region's on the disk and reading the disk.
Well, the region, the player, the machine is set up to read the...
Right.
The certain region.
Right, the PS2 won't read.
But HD Loader skips that part. The problem is you can't switch the disk in, because the PlayStation knows it's not a real, or it's not that region.
Right, exactly.
When it tries to execute it, it goes past that anyway. So it does work. You can play all the imports you want. You know, the only problem is for those of you that are out buying these import games, I mean, as it is, they're more expensive anyway. So you really, I mean, it's fantastic because you paid, say, $50, you know, for like a $20 game, it's going to be like $50. But for like a $50 game to import, how much does that cost us, you think? Like $70 or more?
Probably.
Importing games is so expensive.
It is. Can you get a little bit closer to the phone? You're getting awfully quiet.
Yeah, sorry. Someone's honking outside.
Oh, okay. Just shoot him. Go GTA style on them. Okay, but yeah, so it's pretty expensive, and this is a good way to, you know, ensure the safety of your disk. You know, just take your imported disk that you bought and copy it to your hard drive, transfer it over, and now you don't have to worry about that because it does work. And the only reason I know that is because the demos work too, and I was reading about it somewhere. So it's this is really, really an amazing thing. This, I think, is so good for the PlayStation that almost I believe that Sony should have harnessed this power with their hard drive, you know? Not quite in the same way. They shouldn't have had you be able to dump games to it and run it without a disc, but I'm sure they would have come up with a way to reduce load times, though.
Yeah.
You know, Sony really should have jumped on the bandwagon, and they didn't, and they blew it, and now they're getting rid of the hard drive support altogether.
What they should do on the next systems is find out a way so that we can download console demos.
Demos, that would be stellar. That would be amazing. I mean, I hate having to go to, like, shadier places to try to get my hands on a fucking demo, you know? I mean, it's a demo, come on, you know, but I can see Sony not wanting to put them on their site because they know that the guys that are using it are using something they don't want them to use with anyway.
Demos are fantastic selling tools, and the console section needs to figure out a way that we can get them free.
Yeah, they absolutely do, rather than this bullshit magazine subscription where you have to boil the fucking discs to make them work. And the last thing, I guess, kind of related to this whole console hacking thing, there's actually a new book coming out called Game Console Hacking that covers, like, the Atari... I'm not sure which one. I just saw the word Atari, but it's probably the 2600 through current consoles. It's like it's over 500 pages too. I thought it's like 20.
As long as it's not instruction manual, that could be a pretty interesting read.
No. I'm sure it's a lot like that Hacking the Xbox game book, where it's just like, you know, how to like mod the case, how to like solder on a new LED, you know, to change.
It's a how-to, but more than a like a history and.
Probably, I haven't read it. I don't know that. And there's like no information about it, but it's coming out pretty soon. I'll put a link to the Amazon page for it. It's like it said $27.17, save 10% or whatever. You know, whoopee-doo. But I'm sure it's an interesting read if you're interested in this kind of stuff at all.
Right.
Definitely worth looking into. Now we actually did have some games to talk about this week too. You've been playing. Well, you know what? Since we're talking about PlayStation. I got to play Burnout 3, and I think, Modin, didn't you say you were playing that?
I didn't get around to it.
You didn't get around to it? Well, you're missing out. It is a blast. The demo that I got a couple weeks or months ago, whatever it was, was nothing compared to how awesome the original game is. It is so smooth, and it's on the PlayStation I'm playing it on, even. They didn't have the Xbox one available to rent at the video store, so I had to go with the PlayStation one, but I've been dying to check it out, so I finally got my hands on it, and it's incredible. It is so much fun. They have this announcer, you have like a crash radio station, and like somebody's talking about the accidents and stuff, and so as you're flying around these, you know, scenes and stuff, it's just nuts. You know, it's just insane.
I have heard good things about it.
It's a blast. I got over the controls, not happily though. I didn't like the controls before, I still don't like them very much now. There's, like, no configuration there at all, really. I just basically settled on mashing the button as hard as I can because it's pressure-sensitive for your gas. Mm. So it's a little rough. But it's smooth. It's fun. The crashes are amazing. I didn't know that you could slow down time when you're crashing and direct yourself. You can, like, kind of guide your car to crash into other people and stuff.
Well, or is it just, like...
I don't know. I'm pretty good. I haven't crashed that much. not to where I'm up in the air and want to steer myself yet. So I haven't really played it extensively, but I've played it quite a bit, and I've been having a blast. This game is so much fun. I haven't played it enough to be able to give it a rating yet, but I mean, if you can get your hands on this, absolutely go rent it and try this out, because I don't even like racing games, and this game is fun. This game is just plain fun. It really, really is good. I also got to play another game I've been dying to play for months called Nightshade. This was like, everybody called it like, Shinobi 2.
Right.
It's basically Shinobi with a girl. And it's a blast. It really is fun. I saw a lot of bad things about it, but you know what? The controls are fully configurable. It took me like an hour and a half, 2 hours, to set it up to where I am the baddest ass ninja on the block. But you know what? Once you get those controls exactly how you want them, because there's a lot of buttons. I mean, there's a lot of crazy stuff you can do. I mean, everything from running on the wall to ninja stars to ninja, you got ninja magic, you know, you got ninjutsu, you've got, I mean, regular attacks, kicks. You've got, like, the different targeting systems, switch targets. You've got a lot of fucking buttons there, you know?
Right.
Plus camera controls and all that stuff, too. But it's amazing. It is a lot of fun. Good button-mashing goodness. I mean, if you like Shinobi, there's no reason you should not own Nightshade. And I think it's, like, $30 now, too.
Mm.
And, again, I haven't played it extensively enough, so this was, like, a little preview for it. But it is a blast. The graphics are decent. They're... probably in like the mid-range, I would say, maybe mid-high range for a PlayStation, I guess, but it seems like they could have done a whole lot better on some stuff. You just see some really low-poly models there,
right,
which you're just like, ugh. And the AI, I'm not so sure how bad the AI was in Shinobi, but it's a little lacking here so far. I'm not very far through it, but for the most part, the enemies, like, they'll appear... and you'll go to attack them, and they'll stand there and get hit. And if you bump into one, you'll get killed. You know, you'll get hurt.
Right.
But for the most part, they don't really actively do a whole lot. The majority of stuff I've killed, I've just wrecked. Because you can fly around so fast that you basically react almost before they do. Yet you get to, like, a boss fight, and they just tear you up. I mean, they're pretty rough.
Yeah.
But the regular guys, you kind of fly through the level. But it's such a pleasure to control the character. It really is... got, you know, well done on the controller end of it. You know, the gameplay is pretty solid, minus the AI, which really subtracts a lot. Now, I don't know if that just happens to be the enemies I'm fighting now or what. We'll see as I get further into the game.
Okay.
You played Prince of Persia Warrior Within demo for the PC.
Right. I was having a real lot of fun with this game. The greatest thing they ever did was that gamepad support, because this is straight up made for consoles. And at first I was playing with the default controller, just controls just to tech check it out. And oh, it is terrible with a mouse and keyboard.
Yeah, I bet.
Absolutely ridiculously terrible. But I go into the controls configuration. It has game, not only does it have gamepad support, but it has full controllable, full configuration.
Nice.
You can change which way the camera moves, you can change which button does what. It's a lot like the first one, however, it's darker, and it seems to be a little more geared towards the combat aspect as opposed to the jumping puzzles. The jumping puzzles are still definitely in it, but they kind of beefed up the fighting engine a little bit and made it a little more...
That's pretty prominent. Good, because I get so tired of jumping around and all that
stuff. Did you play Prince of Persia, though?
No.
This is not jumping around.
I'm general on those kind
of
games.
This is not jumping around you get tired of. This is slick, really good jumping around.
Like Sly Cooper jumping around. Yeah. I've been hooked on that crap.
But, it's... From the demo is obviously real short, so I can only give first impression sort of review. But the graphics were good. They were not like Doom 3. I mean, it almost sucks that Doom 3 came out when it did because everything else that's coming out is not quite at that level.
Yeah.
And so it kind of throws off.
Yeah, but everything runs at over 30 frames per second, so right. It's a nice trade-off.
That's very true. But the graphics are perfectly good. I had a real issue, which I'm pretty sure was the last boss of the demo. There was this huge glitch. I was fighting it. And then all of a sudden it started, like, teleporting around the room and then, like, teleported into a corner and just stood there. And I couldn't attack it, and it wasn't attacking me, and the its health bar was gone, and...
Whoa.
Yeah, it was really weird, but it was a demo. It glitched.
Yeah.
It happens.
It happens. They'll probably have a patch out for it real soon.
It seems like it's going to be pretty much just as good as the first one, though. So if you liked the first one, and, you should probably pick up the second one.
Cool. I'm going to have to get on that or something. Don't you have it for the GameCube or something?
Yeah. You're more than welcome to check it out.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping you had it for the PlayStation. Just because I'm so used to these low loading times, I'm kind of steering towards PlayStation for just a little bit.
Same here, man.
I want to give the hard drive for a spin just to... I like seeing this low load time. It makes the PlayStation a whole lot better, so... But, okay. Now, we get to play... The most, I sat and played and you watched. The most fantastic game. Oh, no. Ever created for mankind.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely.
We can't give this enough good review. Because this is the pinnacle of gaming right here. This is the top tier. This is as good as it's going to be for years to come.
The best thing to come out since Pong. Like, the greatest leap.
Absolutely.
In gaming.
Everybody needs to take a page from Atari. Who recently had released, they got the demo out, but they don't have the game comes out the 26th of October, or I wasn't sure because the demo says the 11th, or the 2nd of November, mm-hmm. But everywhere I saw before it said October 26th, and we're talking about the powerhouse, Roller Coaster Tycoon 3, baby.
Oh yeah!
I don't know what to say about this. I don't like these kind of games. It basically has appeal for about 10 minutes. It was really kind of neat at first. I was
almost tempted to, like, download the demo and try it out myself at first.
At first, yeah. And at first when I put it in, I was like, hey, this is pretty slick, you know? Like, you've got, like, full camera movement. It's all full 3D. Mm. I mean, if you look at Railroad Tycoon 1 and 2, or Roller Coaster Tycoon 1 and 2, you've got a very SimCity 2000-ish feel to it.
Right.
And graphic style. Right. This is like full 3D, complete camera control. It's amazing. I mean, they really did a good job, at least, with the camera. Mm. The game itself, though, it was just...
More of the same?
Yeah. I mean, and it wasn't very good. I mean, the most fun I had was trying to make money off people's urination. Okay, like what I was doing, like it got pretty boring really quick to just keep adding these rides and crap to the park. It was just like, okay, well, I can put this here, I can put that there, whoop-de-doo, and people are going to come in and I can set a price on it. Now, if you're into that, by all means, this game is as good as it's going to be for a while. Okay.
It did look like if you're really into the Tycoon games, that
this is the one to get. I mean, you could set the price of, you know, each ride. You can tell how many people rode it that day.
It gets inspected.
Yeah, I mean, everything. You could even see what people bought, like each individual person that was walking around your little park. You could click and find out how much money they still had in their pocket, how much money they spent on your park, and how much money they spent on or how much crap they bought and what they bought. I mean, it gets pretty damn detailed if you're into this kind
of
thing.
You can even build in all kinds of
levels.
Yeah.
Elevation.
Elevation. Yeah. There we go.
Yeah.
It wouldn't come out. So you could build a skyscraper theme park.
Yeah, you absolutely could. They had, I mean, and as far as like the number of things that you could build, it was fairly large. I mean, there was like everything you could think of at a theme park, really. You know, I mean, they have like water rides with bumper boats and race boats and this and that. And there was like 10 different things for water. You want a roller coaster, you build your own, whatever way you want.
Or from a list of
like 45 or something,
yeah,
pre-made ones. I mean, there was just a ton of stuff. There was a lot. They had Ferris wheels and spinner things and Gravitron-looking things and, like, swing things that spun around. I mean, there was pretty big variety. You even had control over the type of food. You had, like, a burger stand, a hot dog stand. You could adjust prices. You could even adjust, like, how much fucking mustard goes on that goddamn hot dog.
Or how much ice they put in the lemonade cup.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was how much ice goes in the lemonade cup. You could make the customer happy by letting them choose, or you could go all the way from, like, no ice to very little, to half ice, to lots of ice, to loads of ice, and then how much, like, oh, it was nuts. Like, how big of a slice of a lemon you wanted. You can get pretty detailed, plus the prices of all this. You could adjust the price of the games, the rides. You could adjust the price of the food, the drinks. Everything was fully configurable. I mean, it's well done for what it does. So if you are at all interested in this, this is the one to have, because it blows the door. I can't believe I'm giving a positive review of fucking Roller Coaster Tycoon 3.
Well, we...
But it's a good game for what it's supposed to be. I don't like it, but it's a good game for what it's supposed to be.
We said in the beginning, it's the scourge of gaming kind.
Yeah. Because there's going to be 500 games that use this engine.
We're asking you not to like it.
Yes.
But if you do,
this is the facts, the straight dope on Roller Coaster Tycoon 3. You even had, like, fireworks shows.
Yeah.
I mean, you had all kinds of stuff. And full building
tools.
Put
in entertainers, decide what their costumes are going to be, what their routes are.
Yeah. And I bet there's going to be a ton of downloadable content for this. I bet there's going to be... Because it felt a lot like The Sims meets Disneyland.
Yeah.
It really did. Because you got way into the control of the people and stuff. It was nuts. You could name all the rides. I mean,
if this gets real big, we're likely to see 8 expansion packs like The Sims 1 had.
Yeah. But on top of that, we're going to have Railroad Tycoon on the same engine. We're going to have Trailer Park Tycoon with this new engine. I mean, seriously, we're going to have it all. I want Porn King Tycoon. Oh, wait, that's coming out.
Oh, yeah?
The Mansion, that Playboy game.
Oh, that's like a Tycoon game?
Isn't it?
Yeah, I thought it was.
I thought so.
Basically, like, run the mansion.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically. But ultimately, the most fun I had with Roller Coaster Tycoon was I had a chain link fence. And I marked off the area, but they had a bunch of people in it. Like, there was a bunch, they couldn't leave, see? I didn't want people to leave my park, okay?
And there was an exit from a ride into this thing.
Exactly. So I had a ride that was free, okay? So everybody in the park wanted to go ride the free ride I had. And the only way out of the ride led into this corral, right? So I hoarded all the people from the park that I could into this little corral, in which I built, like, 6 lemonade stands. And then I set up a bathroom. And the bathroom charged you $5 per use. And it was kind of neat. Because people would sit there, the only thing they could do was buy lemonade and then use the bathroom.
And I will say he got that bored like 10 minutes into it.
Yeah, it didn't take me very long. It didn't take me very long to just be like, okay, well, this is enough.
That's like when you're playing The Sims, you finally get bored of it. Well, finally. But you get bored of it and you decide to put your Sim in a closet and then tack the time thing all the way to the end.
Yeah. Watch him waste away.
He passes out, you wake him up.
Exactly. It just doesn't appeal to me, but I'm telling you, but if you're into this tycoon crap, this is where it's at right now. I mean, this is the, you know, king of shit mountain.
It does look like, for what it is, they did a good job.
They really did. It almost pains me to say that, but at the same time it doesn't, because it wasn't bad. It wasn't hard to control. It wasn't hard to get around. I mean, it took a little getting used to, but it wasn't that bad. And remember, if you're playing the demo, Z rotates your buildings around. That was the hardest problem. Oh, and the second hardest thing I had was stairs.
Yeah.
I had issues making, like,
I think it was because the second set was gonna go into an air, into something else, like a building.
Yeah, yeah.
You had issues with where it was being, trying to be placed.
I think so too. So, it seemed like it was alright after we got past that and had everything flat though. Like, once I caught on to the entrance and exit stuff and all that, not so bad for a tycoon game if you're into that kind of stuff. And the last thing I had was I watched two movies this week. One which was just a pretty good comedy called Breaking All the Rules. This has got one of the Wayans brothers in it, you know, and basically his girlfriend dumps him, and he's a writer, and he writes a book that's like a breakup manual. Because he goes nuts. His girlfriend breaks up with him, he's destroyed. So he goes home, like, he doesn't have his job, like, there's a series of events that lead up to this where he basically winds up at home analyzing his girlfriend's letter, and then compared to his job, because they were going through layoffs at the time, and he wrote the ultimate breakup manual. I mean, this was exactly how to do things, exactly time frames, what to do, how to do it, exactly what to say, where to be. It was like the ultimate book, right? Mm-hmm. And basically, it flies to the top of the charts, and the guy gets real popular, and then he ends up, like, through some kind of accident, his boss wants him to break up with his girlfriend because she's just trying to marry him for money. His best friend's girlfriend falls in love with him. You know, his girlfriend is off in Paris, and then you see her later on. His best friend finds out about the girl, and I mean, it's just like this massive clusterfuck. It's actually not too bad.
And hilarity ensues.
I knew that was coming from you in a minute. I was just trying to keep talking to keep you from saying it. Yes, hilarity ensues after the first, like, 20 minutes. But you know what? It was very entertaining. It really was. Like, something like this, I should have not liked.
Mm.
And I thought it wasn't too bad at all. I mean, I would probably say that if I was to go to the theater, I wouldn't mind paying about $5.50 to see this movie, maybe $6. Because it was funny. It legitimately was funny. I was laughing throughout the whole thing, and that doesn't happen very often. You know, like, out loud, by myself. I look like a retard, but hey. you can rent it now, though, for only $2, though, or $2.50, I guess. Blockbuster changed their prices. Yeah. So, but it wasn't bad. It was actually pretty funny. Did anybody else watch any movies this week?
I didn't watch shit.
That's because you've been busy ripping games that you legally purchased and owned to your
PlayStation. Instead of buying games.
That's right. But it's nice without the load times. And you didn't watch anything either, Cobra?
I watched The Day After Tomorrow.
Oh, you saw that too?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. You said you own it now.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Again, we're on the same page. This is like the, what, second or third time in 30, 40 shows?
For movies?
All right. Okay, yeah. Day After Tomorrow. This disaster flick.
For disaster flick, I liked it quite a lot. Most disaster flicks are just kind of very Armageddon-ish.
Which I didn't like. Didn't like Armageddon.
They tend to just all be the same. And I guess to a point, this one is too.
It's got the love story and the whole,
right,
you know, trying to survive these harsh conditions and all that. I mean, it's not the most original movie.
But when you're doing a disaster movie, that's the sort of thing that gives it substance.
Exactly.
It'd be 20 minutes if it was just about the disaster.
Yeah.
I really liked it. One of the reasons I really liked it is because there's a lot of scientists saying that this is actually a possibility.
Yeah, yeah.
That the shelves of the ice in Antarctica and both poles are dumping off into the sea, and it is causing too much fresh water, and this is a possibility.
And granted, of course, you know, I'm sure in reality we're a long way off, and this is where the movie comes in as to where it happens all of a sudden because it was more than we expected.
Mm.
You know, and I thought they did a really good job of, like, just throwing you into it all of a sudden, you know, I mean, like, right away you see this happen, you see this giant shelf of ice slide, and you don't think much of it until later on, like 10 minutes in, 15 minutes in, where you're hearing now about how it works, how this changes all this thing, and, you know, all the tides and the all this whatever, you know. And basically its effect on the world. And I liked this one more than, like, I couldn't stand Armageddon. I couldn't stand, there was another one.
Deep Impact?
Oh, yeah, that's the one I haven't seen.
Oh.
The Core?
It came out just right around Armageddon, too.
Yeah, that's probably why I didn't watch it, because I saw, like, part of Armageddon was just like, fuck these movies. I didn't like them. You know what? I liked The Core.
The Core had a pretty interesting
just because it was just different. Maybe I didn't want to hear about asteroids or whatever, but I did like the idea of going to the center of the Earth, and I loved the idea of storms. I don't know why, but I get off on this kind of stuff. I think it was fantastic. So that right there was a big appeal to me. I guess it depends on the kind of, I don't know if this even happens. Depends on the kind of storms that you like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, or tropical or whatever, disasters you like. I happen to be a big fan of stuff like this. Hurricanes, tornadoes, give me fucking cold weather and snow and rain and hail and all this kind of shit. and I'm going to be the happiest man on the planet. I love this kind of stuff. So that's why this movie gains, like, bonus points for me, because it already appeals to somebody who likes that kind of stuff. Mm. So, I mean, don't listen to me, because I'm talking out of somebody who just likes it just because of what they chose. If this would have been about, like, another asteroid, I wouldn't probably have liked it as much, you know, or whatever. I probably wouldn't be as happy, but I thought it was really neat the way that they explained it.
I was just going to say, the premise of the disaster really matters if you're going to like it or not.
Oh, and like earthquakes? See, I don't care for that. There was some earthquake movie I watched I didn't care for, and the volcano one was about the medium range. They're kind of cool, but not exceedingly cool. Like a hurricane, I'd say. You know, so like, I don't know, what was Dante's Peak? Wasn't that one that had... That wasn't a disaster, that was like a survival movie though, right?
There's something.
I don't remember.
There's a volcano where it comes out of LA.
I don't think
that. That is so retarded.
Is it?
That movie was pretty bad.
I don't think I saw that one. Okay, well, I don't know. As far as The Day After Tomorrow goes, basically you've got a father who's on top of this. He knows what's happening, right?
He's a climatologist.
Yes. His son is across the country with some girl that he likes. There's our love story right there.
Right.
And basically,
and the reunion of his parents.
I
don't know if they were actually broken up or if they were just having problems and this kind of fixed it or what. But
yeah, they came together in a warm family moment, you know, when everybody realizes they need to stay together and love one another. But you know, I mean, it has its cheeseball moments, but I think it has its kick-ass moments when you see like water flood into New York
that
and
was tight.
Bury Manhattan and then freeze over. I thought that was cool.
Basically, the reason why it changed so fast is because the eye of these hurricanes that were like a third of the planet,
a third of the planet. It was huge.
Yeah, these huge hurricanes, their eyes were pulling down super cooled air from the troposphere or something.
I'm glad you remember all this, because I don't.
And it was like negative 10,000 degree air.
Yeah, and it drops, what did it say, like 100 degrees per second or 1,000 degrees per second or something?
Yeah, because it's moving so fast from the top to the bottom, the air didn't have a chance to warm up.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this really cool part where there's this set of helicopters is flying around trying to figure out what the hell's going on. And they fly in to the eye, and it freezes their helicopter. It freezes their
fuel lines.
Their fuel lines, which is really cold.
Yeah.
To instantly freeze fuel.
And then, of course, you know, the whole thing kind of crusts over.
Yeah, and then they fall to the ground. By the time the thing hits the ground, the bodies inside are frozen dead.
It was cool. It was cool. I mean, they had some neat effects, you know. And plus, like I said, I like that kind of stuff anyway. So I was a fanboy of this right from the start. I was probably going to like it no matter how bad it sucked. But I would say I'd be willing to pay about $7 for this movie.
That was
being eight at the cap, though, remember.
Right,
not ten. Eight is about the going rate for a movie. So I seriously would not have had a problem selling out $7 to go see this in the theater. It's not the perfect movie, but it was damn entertaining.
It was. Especially for a disaster flick.
Yeah.
They do get a little old.
They do. They do. You know what? I still haven't found a good space movie. I need a new space movie.
Didn't I hear something about Spaceballs 2 coming out?
Yeah, Mel Brooks said it was going to happen.
When?
I don't know when, but I don't know. I don't know whether to be worried or excited.
I'm kind of worried. And we don't have a John Candy anymore.
He should wait until the third one comes out so he can spoof the second trilogy.
Yeah.
Well, so, the first one spoofed the first trilogy, the second one should spoof the second trilogy.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. That's not a bad idea. I don't know, I want a serious space movie is what I was getting at. Something what was it, like Red Planet and the other one?
Riddick?
No, you know, that wasn't so bad, that was alright. Riddick.
Oh, come on.
Oh, come on. That wasn't so bad at all. I kind of like the idea of the guy being a convict, though. That was cool.
Didn't they
actually
throw water on themselves to protect themselves from being, like, really close to the sun?
Yeah.
They threw water on themselves.
They weren't close to the sun. They were close to where the sun heats up, so it takes it. You know, remember, where, like, the line where it heats up?
Like, yeah, there was, like, rocks exploding and stuff. They're just like, okay, give me some water.
All right, good point. But, oh, crap, you know what? We're out of time.
Yeah.
That's it for us. We can't drag this on any longer because we're done. So I guess I'll see you next week, and good luck. Hopefully you're going to order that HD loader this week and enjoy fast load times on your legally purchased own PlayStation 2 games. Any parting words?
Live long and prosper. got a man job.